The Plover. When at a loss for diversion, we ferry boys could always, in summer at least, fall back on the dubious delights of a wade in the mud when the tide was out. Since all of us, except Joe McClenny, went about barefoot, once we decided on this messy ploy, no elaborate preparations were necessary. The hazards were considerable, however. Broken bottles, barrel hoops, sharp stones, branches, rusty bully beef tins lay concealed everywhere, waiting for an unwary foot, and heaven alone knew what poisons lay suppurating below the surface. We believed, rightly or wrongly, that erysipelas was a possible consequence of one of these forays. But we all pretended to enjoy them for all that. To have done less might have cast doubts upon our nerve and our daring. So we ferry lads lined up on this fine summer morning at the West Sands, in our time already almost sandless. Joe, with his heavy boots slung around his neck by their leather laces. Speed was impossible. It was a case of dragging out a leg from the nauseous mess and plunging it back in to above the knee as we made our precarious way across to the old station side. At all costs, sinister Clay Hole must be avoided, if it existed at all except in fairy legend. And certainly every one of us believed that it did. Somewhere near the duking holes it lurked, ready to suck the unwary among us to our death in its unfathomed depths. On this occasion, Joe surprised us by putting on a sudden burst of speed and made what the rest of us considered a most enviable catch, a plover, which he had spotted resting on the mud. True, he captured the bird only because it made but a feeble effort to escape, and at a cost to be reckoned later, when he arrived home, completely plastered in mud. Maybe he decided that his mother might be less than thrilled by his trophy because, when we finally emerged from the quagmire and began to wash off the worst of the muck from our legs with salt water, he readily handed over the plover to Bob Dowie, who wanted it to enhance his dovecot. How the pigeons already in residence might treat an interloper, nobody thought to speculate. Anyway, with the possible exception of Joe, we were all in the highest spirits as we headed back home. When passing the loading ramp, we were hailed by McGowan, the carter. With his one-eyed horse, Bovril, he was busy loading whinstone cussy stones, destined for the streets of Edinburgh, but not too busy to notice our trophy. "Hey," he called out, "what's that you've got?" "It's a plover," announced Bob, the proud new owner. "Let's see it." McGowan laid the lapwing down, tested both wings, then, with electrifying suddenness, dispatched it with one sharp blow of his whip handle. "Wings broken," he announced by way of explanation. "Better deed," he said. Reason might have told us that the coup de grace was essentially a merciful one for the wounded bird. But as McGowan tossed the limp body aside, a wave of shock and outrage ran through us all. And all the magic drained out of a lovely day in the mud.